Next up, imagine coming back from a trip away to celebrate your 25th wedding anniversary. And then days later, your 15-year-old daughter, the baby of the family, goes to a friend's house for a sleepover. You go to bed, woke up in the early hours by a police officer who tells you your daughter's been rushed into hospital and has no respiratory signs. Every parent's worst nightmare. And that's the position of Ada Booth. It's what she found herself in. I spoke to her earlier and started by asking her what had happened.
On Saturday, the 19th of June 2010, my daughter Sarah left the house. It was a gorgeous sunny day. She was looking fit and healthy, beautiful in her denim shorts and sunglasses, with an overnight bag because she was going to town to shop and then to go to an overnight end-of-term sleepover house party. And we had no concerns at all about her, and we'd gone to bed as usual, and at 4 o'clock in the morning, a police sergeant was at our door to say that Sarah was on her way to the Ulster Hospital with just a faint pulse and no respiratory signs. When we got to the hospital, we were led into a private room and just told that the doctors were working on her. After about 20 minutes, a team of doctors and nurses came into the room and told us that they tried everything, but they weren't able to save Sarah.
Oh, my goodness.
So we were just totally devastated.
She was 15, your baby daughter.
My baby daughter.
15-year-old daughter.
Yes.
Had died. Died how? What happened?
Well, she was just 4 weeks into her 15th birthday, and Sarah's death had been unexplained, and it was not until 16 months later that a diagnosis of sudden arrhythmic death syndrome was made, which is called SADS. As a result of that, the family were screened in December of that year. I mean, unfortunately, it is only when there's been a sudden death that screening for the family is free through the National Health Service. The tests on the rest of us, my daughter Claire then showed signs of a condition called long QT syndrome. And I can explain sort of briefly what that is, Stephen, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Long QT syndrome is a condition whenever the heart beats, in between each beat of the heart, there is a resting period. And in some cases, that period can be too long. And Claire showed indications of that. So thankfully, she is now on medication and her condition is being monitored. But we would never have known about that had we not lost Sarah.
Some of the statistics are shocking. They certainly shock me. There are 12 sudden deaths in the UK every week.
Every single week, Stephen, yes. And the way I would describe it is, it's like a national lottery for everybody between the age of 14 and 35. And every week in that lottery, there are 12 losers. What I want to promote awareness of today is the need to get a law passed that will make screening compulsory.
For everybody?
For children aged between 14 and over. After losing Sarah then, my cruise counsellor put me in contact with CRY, the organisation CRY, which stands for Cardiac Risk in the Young.
So what you're really saying is when you get your BCG, you get an ECG as well.
Exactly. It's as simple as that. It's a very simple test. It doesn't take very long, and it will identify the majority of cardiac abnormalities.
And if you find these abnormalities, can you do something about it? If you had have known that
yes.
Your daughter had this condition?
Yes, because the problem is that some of those conditions can only be identified when the heart is beating.
What's it like, Ada? You know, I'm trying to get you to put words to it when you lose your daughter at such a young age.
Stephen, it is totally devastating. She was an amazing girl. She was just there weren't enough hours in the day for her. She was just so full of life. She was so driven. She was so focused. She attended Wellington College, Belfast, and she was in the school musicals. She had reached a high grade in ballet. She was very academic. She was just a wonderful girl. I mean, only a couple of weeks ago, I had two of her teachers come to see me, and they were telling me that they're still talking about her in the school. In fact, the school ran relays in the last two Belfast marathons, teachers and pupils, and we had cardiac risk in the young T-shirts with Sarah's photograph on the front. And between those two marathons, so far the school have raised about £9,000. CRY is totally dependent on core funding for their campaign. They provide screening clinics, and with the exception of a one-off grant from the Department of Health, CRY have never received any financial support from government. CRY also offers counsel and support to families affected by sudden cardiac death. So they run bereavement support days throughout the UK. I actually attended the Northern Ireland Bereavement Support Day in February 2011. When I tried to register for it in February 2012, CRY contacted me and said that unfortunately they had to cancel the Northern Ireland event. They didn't have enough people to attend. CRY isn't getting enough promotion, because I'm quite sure there must be parents out there who have suffered the same loss who would have benefited from that.
Well, look, it's a terribly sad story, but I know that you're trying to do some good out of it, and you're trying to raise awareness, and thank you for doing so.
Could I just take the opportunity just to mention a few people?
Yes, of course.
My mother, Marie Murta in Newry, who listens to your show every day and is totally devastated at the loss of her granddaughter. Sarah's aunt, Christine Booth, who was like a second mother to her and is so heartbroken. A very dear friend, Rosalind McMullen, who takes me out every week for coffee and has given me so much support. My friend, Valerie Riley, who arranged and paid for a memorial bench in Ormo Park in memory of my beloved child. My friend Mary O'Connor, who's going to skydive in memory of Sarah, and to the cruise counsellor, Pat, who told me about CRY. And just finally, Stephen, I just want to thank the staff and pupils of Wellington College who ran the relays in the two Belfast marathons and raised over £9,000, particularly Mrs. Cochran, Miss Digney and Mr. McFarland.
You must be, well, and thank you for that. You just must be incredibly angry that this has happened to you.
I am very, very, very angry, Stephen.
You know, it's a mixture of emotions, isn't it? I guess it's bad luck. It's anger, wondering why life has dealt you this blow and why your daughter's taken away from you.
Absolutely. And I would say to parents out there now, go to your GPs, that's what they're there for, and insist that they refer their children for an ECG, because it will pick up things. So I just really, you know, don't want other parents to suffer the way I am suffering. And finally, if I could just say, Stephen, that some people seem to think that after 2 years that you should be feeling a bit better. But when you lose your child in such sudden and tragic circumstances, 2 years is like the blink of an eye. You never get better. You never get over it. You just try to get through it.
Ada, thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, Stephen. Thank you.
Just a really sad story, that, isn't it? Really, really sad.